Glory to God. How many glad to be in the house of God? How many of you believe God's got something for you tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. I tell you, if you'll look to the Lord, not look to a man, not look to a preacher, but look to the Lord, God's got a word for you. I said amen. Sometimes people have their mind or their eyes on a person and they miss the word that God has for them. But if you'll stay hooked up, sensitive in your spirit, God's got a word for you tonight. Amen. Praise God. If you'll open your Bible to Psalm 46. Open your Bible if you have it. However you're viewing the word, those of you listening to some other venue or watching from home, Psalm 46 tonight. And this is a recently familiar passage of Scripture. If you were here Wednesday night, I spoke here Wednesday night and spoke out of this same passage of Scripture. And on Wednesday night, we spoke around this subject. God is talking. Shh. Are you listening? And so we came with our message prepared to share. And then when we read the first two verses, we took off preaching and just stayed in that flow. That's what God had for us that night. Amen. We always endeavor just to want to follow the flow of the Spirit, whatever direction He leads. I said, amen. I said, it's not about an individual. It's not about the will of a man. It's about the will of the Lord. And how many know God has a plan for each and every service? God has a plan. He has a purpose. And what He needs is yielded vessels. Wish I could get a bigger amen. Somebody said, yeah, well, you preach it, brother, preach it. May the vessels in the pulpit yield. I'll be the first to say amen. But it's not just the pulpit, it's the pew. The pulpit and the pew, amen. It's God in the pulpit and God is in the pew too. We all have to yield unto Him. Glory to God. And as we yield unto Him, then His will and plan and purpose shall be accomplished, and the word of the Lord shall come forth, and that which the Lord has for you shall be revealed, and you shall be blessed. Amen. And so we read these first two verses. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We took off preaching from there. He's a very present help. How many glad God's a present help? Yeah, He's a present help in the time of trouble. He's a present help. And I like that because that means He's a present help right now and He's a present help out into the future. Amen. But I read the Passion Translation of that same verse, and it said, you are a proven help in times of trouble. That same verse in the Passion Translation said, you're a proven help in the time of trouble. And we took off preaching there. He's a present help and a proven help. He's a present help for what He's doing in your life right now and what He's doing out into your future. And He's a proven help what He's already done in your past. I said, I wish I could get a bigger amen from you on that. God has already proven He's helped you time and then time again. He's a proven help and He's a present help. Glory to God. And so tonight, we just, again, want to follow the flow of the Spirit and the direction that He's given us for tonight. But He told me to come back to this passage. There's something else I need to highlight and remind you of. So let me go back. We're in Psalm 46. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. I'm going to start at verse 1. There's only 11 verses, so I'll read all 11 very quickly. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And therefore, we will not fear. Everybody say, we will not fear. Yeah, say it this way for me. I will not fear. Yeah. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, and though its waters roar and foam, and though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she will not be moved. And God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised His voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come behold the works of the Lord who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Tonight, out of this same passage of Scripture, a different title and a different flow. And so we just want, as we say, we endeavor just to follow what the Lord has for us tonight. Tonight's title, There is a Flow to the River. I wonder if you'd help me with that title. Say that out loud with me. There is a flow to the river. Say that one more time with me. There is a flow to the river. Yeah. And in this passage of Scripture, you notice after it says, verse 1 and 2, God's our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. If the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, how many know that is going to be a boisterous, noisy, loud occurrence? If the mountains break off into the heart of the sea, it doesn't happen in silence. Though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters, what, roar and foam. Hear the noise and all of that? Though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Verse 4 is what I'm after. There is a river. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. And God is in the midst of her, and she will not be moved. And God will help her when the morning dawns. You know, I love, there is a river. There is, the Bible says right here, that if even if the, first of all, the psalmist is written as a powerful ministry of song in the song book of Israel. Listen, if there's a lot of noise around you, if there's a lot of exterior noise in your life, let me tell you this, let me remind you this, there's a river. God's got a river. And the Bible says here, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. This is no ordinary river. And in fact, the river about which I speak tonight, it's really not an it, this river. This river is really a him. This river is really God, the Holy Spirit. And if you are a New Testament believer tonight, then there's a river on the inside of you. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. If you're not a believer, then we'll give you a chance and you can give your life to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he will wash all of your sins away in the blood that he shed, and he'll place a river down on the inside of you. In the midst of the chaos in the world and the chaos around our lives, sometimes God, the chaos sometimes, but God, if we're a believer, always there's a river inside you. And so often as believers, we ignore the river. Look there again, verse 4. We're in Psalm 46, verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Whoa, if you'll concentrate on this river, then joy will come to you. You say, well, I lost my joy. Joy will come back because there's joy in the river. You know, you got a river of life on the inside of you. We sing a song about that. There's a river of life on the inside of you. Yeah. We sing a song, I got a river of life flowing out of me. I got a river of life makes the how's it go, makes the dead to walk, the blind to see. Something like that. There's a river of life in you. And that river is God, the Holy Spirit. And the scripture says here, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Now look at the holy dwelling places of the Most High. Say, what's that talking about? Believers in the body of Christ. Believers have now become the dwelling places of the Most High. I said, God is dwelling on the inside of you if you're a believer. And so that dwelling place of the Most High, it's right there on the inside of you. I said, God's talking about you. I said, there's a river on the inside of you. If you're a believer, that river's on the inside of you. And God's trying to get your attention to pay attention. There's a river on the inside of you. And I want you to know tonight, there's a flow to that river. Yeah. I said, there's a flow to the river. Now, you know, all my kiddos, and I call them kiddos, you know, they're all grown except for my grandson. You know, we just came back from the beach. We've been at the beach, you know, 4 or 5 days. We had a great time. Oh, man, we didn't get in the river. We got in the ocean. I remember I took my grandson in the ocean, you know, I hold his little hand. And you know how when you get in the ocean and you're standing right there close to shore, and when the water comes across your feet, and then the water recedes, the tide goes back out the other way, and the sand goes, you can feel the sand going from the bottom of your feet. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We have a bunch of lakes here in Oklahoma, and so we don't really get that experience, and so people don't know what you're talking about. But when the tide goes back out, you can feel the sand receding under your toe. I love that feeling, by the way. My grandson felt that. He took running off. I said, "You're okay? Come here, man. You all right?" There's a flow to the river. And even in the ocean, you have to be careful. You know, I reminded my family, look, you know, we were out there having fun. We're throwing the football. We took the football out there. We're throwing the football around the ocean, you know. And I remind my family, look, hey, let's all be careful. Let's use wisdom. Amen. There's something, you know, when you grow up around the ocean, you know that there's something called a riptide. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's a current that flows underneath the water. It's a very strong current. A lot of people drown in oceans because they get out so far and they don't realize that they're dealing with what, essentially the flow on the surface of the water, but they don't realize there's a flow down there under the water, and that current can be so strong, that riptide under the water can pull you right out. And a lot of times people get pulled by the riptide and they get sucked right on out and they drown like that. And you have to go out a little ways depending on where the tide is and what time of day it is and all of that. But the point is that there is a tide, there is a riptide, that there's a flow to that. There's a current to that. And you have to be sensitive and know about that. And the Bible says there's a river on the inside of you and I, and there's a flow to the river. There's a flow to the river. Let me give you the first point tonight. Listen, unclog the river. If there's anything clogging up your river, get your river. Sometimes people say, well, I don't sense no flow. There ain't no flow in me, brother. Ain't no flow in me. There's a river there. Now, you may have clogged it up, but there is a river. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. I played golf one time, and oh, man, we saw, you know, this stream running through the golf course. But then they had a part of the golf course they hadn't kept clear of all the junk, and all the junk and debris that people had thrown into the stream had all congregated at one place, and it blocked the whole stream. It blocked the flow of it. And when it blocked it, there was just stagnation and algae and just all kinds of, it just, you know, disgusting looking water. It all got blocked up. There was a stream, there was a flow to the stream, but the flow got blocked. A brother won't get no amen teaching like that. I said, if something is clogging your river, you got to unclog that river. There's a flow. There's a flow to the river. His name is God, the Holy Spirit. But there are things, if we're not careful, that we can do that will clog that river. And you find yourself listening to the sermon saying, well, I don't know. There's no flow. There's no flow. Oh, there's a flow, all right. I said, he's flowing. The scripture here said, there is a river. Yeah. And the Bible said, the streams of this river will make glad the city of God. I don't care what's going on in your life. This river will produce joy. When the river flows, it don't matter what's going on in our life. When the river flows and we become sensitive to that river, it will produce joy. In the midst of sorrow, this river will produce joy. In the midst of sadness, this river will produce joy. You can be broke, but you tap into that river, you'll have joy, and you won't stay broke either. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Unclog the river. Can you be more specific? Yeah. Listen, any unconfessed sin will clog that river. A brother won't get no amen teaching like that. You ought to turn to Psalm 32. Psalm 32 real quick. Keep your finger in Psalm 46. That's our key text. Psalm 32. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, verse 1, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom God does not impute iniquity and whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away with the fever heat of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you. My iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the guilt of my sin. That'll unclog the river. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Any type of unconfessed sin will clog the river up. That's why we need to be quick to repent and quick to forgive. Yeah. Because unforgiveness will clog that river up. You say, well, I didn't do anything to somebody. They did something to me. Well, they might have done something to you, but if you get off in unforgiveness, it'll clog your river up. Preacher won't get an amen trying to tell you how to get that river unclogged. I said, don't let anything clog your river. Unconfessed sin, unforgiveness, they will clog up the river. The river is not an it, it's a he. You will hinder his flow in your life. with unconfessed sin. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Let it go. Let it go. It's not that important. Let it go. Let it go. Don't let anybody get you offended. Don't let anybody get you crossways. Listen, let that go. Keep the flow of the river. There is a river. There is a river. And it's either flowing or God wants it to flow in your life. Unclog the river. You've got to unclog that river. I'll tell you another thing that will clog that river up. Overriding our conscience. Brother, ain't going to get no amen there. Let's stay with the word. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19. We just give you the word. 1 Timothy 1, 19. Listen, if we violate our conscience, guess what's going to happen? We're going to clog up that river. Oh, man, but when that river flows and when we become sensitive to that river, oh, man, there's not a need you can have. There's not a situation you can be in, not a circumstance you can find that God won't give you the victory right through it. He'll give you the victory over it, give you the victory through it, whatever it is. He'll bring you victory. Yeah. It's a river of life. It's a river of praise. It's a river of victory. Glory to God. Where did I tell you to go? I'm just testing you. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. You ready? Keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Did you read that? Keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. They were shipwrecked because they let that river get clogged, and then they weren't prepared to really walk by faith and deal with whatever they were going through. And so they didn't get the victory that God intended because they clogged up that river. And how did they do it? They didn't keep faith in a clear conscience. Keeping faith. This says here, keeping faith in a good conscience. I think New Living said keeping faith in a clear conscience. We keep it clear. And that means if anything bothers you, you know, if you did something to a brother or to a sister, just go and say, hey, you know, listen, I'm sorry. I repent. Hey, forgive me. If I hurt you, I did something to you, forgive me. Yeah. You can do it that fast. Just saying, you know what? I was wrong there. You know, I shouldn't have said it. You know, I shouldn't have looked at you like that. I mean mugged you. You ever mean mug anybody? No, listen, you can get rid of that. You can get rid of that just like that. Amen. Don't let anything clog that river. Go back with me to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. There's a river. There's a river, and we've got to keep that river, keep that river clear. Unclog the river. Unclog the river. Why? Because if you unclog the river, you'll sense a flow in a direction of God. And when you pray and ask God, what should I do? God, I've got to make a decision. What should I do? Oh, and you'll sense on the inside, there's a flow to that river. And you'll know exactly what to do. You'll know. I remember 19 years ago, And somebody that I really trusted called me and said to me, I was working in business 20 years ago, and said to me, hey, man, I've been praying. My church and I have been praying. Said, matter of fact, we've been fasting and praying. And said, your name came up. And said, I'm getting ready to leave my church. I'm gonna leave the pastorate, go out and evangelize. And said, got the church built up pretty good, 500 people. Everything going great at the church. Got our own building, everything going good. Said, your name came up in fasting and prayer, and we believe you're supposed to be the next pastor. Yeah. And then told me, said, look, I know you're making a pretty good nickel over there at FedEx. I was senior manager at FedEx by that time. That time I got a six-figure income at FedEx at that time. He said, I know you're making a pretty good nickel over there. He said, I already talked to my board, and my board approved it, said whatever your current salary is, they're going to pay you that to start out. Yeah. And so he said, just come on out here and preach for us, and then you see, and then we'll be ready for you in 2 weeks. And by the way, we're going to pay all your moving expenses too. Yeah. And so And so went out there and preached up a storm and just had a great, great time preaching. And then I remember on the plane on the way home, I asked my wife, what do you think? She said, I think that's God. And she said, what do you think? I said, I think it's God too. But then I told her, I said, but you know one thing, we made a mistake about 10 years ago thinking something was God. And we found out later we were up here in our head. We weren't flowing down here in our spirit. And we made a mistake. You remember that? She said, oh, I remember that. Yeah. And so I said, and she agreed. I said, I'm not willing to make that mistake. And she said, me either. She said, what do you want to do? And I said, let's just get quiet. And what we're going to do is we will, let's just take some time to pray and ask the Lord about it and make sure we're operating down here where there's a river flowing. And instead of up here where we can make mistakes. And so she agreed. And so we went to pray, and the first day after work, we set aside some time and went to pray, and man, just didn't get a thing. You know what I thought was going to happen? I thought the Holy Ghost was just going to go whoosh, and knock us over in the living room and just say, yes, saith the Lord, this is the will of God. Goeth ye into the pasture. That's what I thought was going to happen. Nothing happened. Just seemed kind of awkward. What? I don't know. I said, you getting anything? She said, no. You getting anything? I said, no. She said, what do you want to do? I said, look, why don't we, tomorrow, let's skip dinner. We'll feed the kids and skip dinner and just start praying into the evening that way. And she agreed. And so we skipped dinner. We skipped dinner after we fed the kids, and then we went to praying. And I said, you getting anything? She said, I just can't get anything clear on that. I said, me either. I said, let's fast and pray another day. When I say fast and pray, we skipped dinner the second night. Skipped dinner another night. Kept on praying. Man, it just seems it doesn't seem exactly right. Something's not wrong. I'm like, Lord, what is going on? My mind is still going, yes, yes, thus saith the Lord. You go there. Yes, yes. But down here, something not quite right. And if you let yourself just operate up here, you'll get misled again and again. You're going to be the most frustrated Christian on planet Earth. Because you're going to be thinking something is God time after time after time. And it's going to be wrong, wrong, wrong. You got to get it down here. You say, how come? Because that's where God is if you're a believer. You see how you know the Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 24, that God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Yeah. And because he's a spirit, then we can't communicate with him with our mind. Now, our mind can interpret thoughts that have come up from our spirit. We can get understanding. God can give us understanding, and then we know what's here, and it comes up in our mind, and we understand it. But we're not communicating with God out of our mind and our intellect. We're communicating with God out of our spirit. Are you with me there? And the reason so many people get misled, or they get information that's not right, and it's because they're walking up here, and they're not walking up here. We operate with our senses. But down here, we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, Jesus compared him to a river. Go with me to John 7, 37 to 39. John chapter 7, 37 to 39. John 7, 37 to 39. It says in John 7, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. 39. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were to receive. I'm so glad the scripture gives all of that. I'm so glad verse 39 is included in there, because, there probably would have been innumerable doctrinal wars over what Jesus meant by that. But the scripture says he was talking about the Holy Spirit on the inside, who those who believe were to receive. And so we were praying. And so third day, we skip. After 3 days of skipping our dinner, it got clear as a bell down on the inside. My first point was unclog the river. But my second point to you is be still and know. That comes from verse 10 out of Psalm 46. You know, New American Standard said, cease striving and know. But I like it better, New King James, some of the other translations say, be still and know. Be still, because you see, when we take time to get still down in here, we can be cognizant of what God is saying and what direction that river's flowing. Now, you know, when you're in the ocean, if you're just standing on the wet sand and the water comes up, if I didn't have my eyes open and I couldn't feel the water, I would still know which way it's flowing by the sand receding under my feet. I would know I would know which way it's flowing. And so after 3 days, it just got clear. We skipped dinner three days. We didn't fast all 3 days. We skipped dinner 3 days. And down here, just got clear as a bell. I mean, what was muddy cleared up. I mean, what we couldn't see, we could see crystal clear. Don't go. Don't do that. You say, did you know about working on staff at Ramp? No, none of that. No. No, that came later in the future. No, didn't have an inkling. Not a clue. No. Didn't have anything else. But got this. Don't do that. Don't go. Don't go. I thought, man, that beats anything. Man, up here, I just want to go, go, go. But down here, don't go. Woo, helping somebody tonight. And so I called the pastor back and I told him, I said, I can't come. And he said, what you mean you can't come? He said, we fasted and prayed and got your name. I said, I fasted and prayed and got a no. Can I tell you this? Nobody is better at praying over your needs than you. You, yourself, and you. And too many people are dependent on somebody else to pray for them when God never designed it that way. And when we're babies in Christ, that's okay. Babies are dependent and they're dependent upon somebody. Goo goo gaga. You know, it's all, you know, when Lincoln came over, spent the night with me last night. But, you know, when he was a baby, anything he needed, I just did for him. What you need, man? You change your diaper, you want to eat? What you need, man? What you need? I do it all. What you need? That joker came last night. Listen, you better feed yourself. I provide the meal, but Papa ain't feeding you. Why? He's grown. He's 8 now. I expect more from him as an 8-year-old than I did when he was just 3 months or 8 months old. I wish I had an amen in here. We can understand that, but we don't carry it over into the realm of the spirit where God expects more from you and I today than he did when we were just 8 months old as a baby Christian. A baby Christian can get away with that. You and I can't. A brother ain't going to get no amen teaching like that. We want everybody else to pray for us. Everybody else to do it for us. Nobody can get an answer from God for you like you can. And if somebody gets an answer for you, you better already have it down on the inside of you. Too many people being led just because somebody said something. Somebody said boo. Who cares who said boo? You better know which way. There's a flow to the river. And he's on the inside of you. And you better know which way he's flowing on the inside of you. And he's available morning and then noontime and then night and then every second in between to give us an audience with him so that we can yield ourselves to him in any and every situation in life. And so we told the pastor no. He was shocked. He said, if you change your mind, told him no. I remember a year later, he came out here for camp meeting. He stayed with us and he had gone through so many things that year. He was still pastoring the church. He didn't leave the church. And I remember his tears in our living room. And I remember he said, man, a year ago when I asked you to take my church, he said, man, thank God you were hearing from God. Because if you had followed the advice I gave you, was trying to give you, he said, we both would have missed it. He said, because the Lord finally dealt with me and told me, I never told you to leave your church. He said, after you said no, he said, I went to praying. He said, when I went to praying, the Lord spoke to me and said, I never told you to leave the church in the first place. A brother can't get an amen teaching like that. He said, thank God you heard from God. But I was so tempted to flow from here out of mental realm, mental thoughts, good thoughts, instead of down here. There's a flow to the river. And you got to know which way that flow is. Oh, man. Luke 1:3, Luke said he wrote the gospel of Luke. He said, because it just seemed right that I should examine everything from the beginning and put it down in writing. Luke said in Luke 1:3, it seemed good to me. How did we get the book of Luke? How did we get the book of Acts? Because Luke was following the inward witness. He was following the flow of the river. There was a river in him that said, you need to get this down in writing. You need to follow the inspiration and the leading of the Spirit and pen the book of Luke and pen the book of Acts. Yeah, and he followed the flow. There's a flow to the river. Oh, but there's a river in you. And there's a flow to the river in you. Yeah, and then over in Acts 15:22. Remember there where Luke writing the account of how they determined that believers come to faith in Christ by faith alone. In other words, not by works, but by faith alone. Acts 15, the council at Jerusalem. At 15:22, it says, look, it seemed good. It seemed right. 15:25, it says it seemed good. It seemed right. 15:28, it says it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit. 15:34, it seemed good for Silas to remain put, 15:22, 15:25, 15:28, 15:34, it seemed good. What are they talking about? They're talking about the flow of the river. They're talking about what Jesus was talking about, John 7:37-39. They're talking about what's written to the New Testament believer in Romans 8:14-16. All who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Thank you. Not with our mind. We act like that scripture says the Spirit bears witness with our mind. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. These are all the same thing. The Holy Spirit, the leading of the Spirit, the inward witness that comes from the leading of the Spirit, the flow of the river. We're talking about the same thing. But there's a flow of the river inside of you. And the question tonight is, what are you going to do about it? Father, we've endeavored to share in this time we've had. Oh, as you've instructed us and given us utterance tonight, there's a flow to the river. And we've said to people to unclog that river. And we've said to people, Psalm 46:10, be still and know. Be still and know. The more that we get in your presence through worship, through absorbing the word, through confessing of your word, through fellowship with you, the more we do that, the more we know. The more we pray in the Holy Ghost, the more we know. And we can tap into that river praying, Ephesians 6:18, praying. And so, Father, so many times someone has clogged up the river through unforgiveness, through sin, through not keeping a clear conscience. I don't want you to come down, but I just want you to be honest with God all over this place. If you've clogged up the river tonight, I don't want you to come down here, but lift your hand. Lift your hand. You're saying, I got something in my, I got to get that out. Yes, 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 yes. Praise God. Yes, yes, yes. Glory to God. Glory to God. And so, Father, you see honest hands, honest hearts, and lifted hands. And so you can put your hands down. Father God, just congregation, everybody, let's just say this out loud after me. Father, I come in the name of Jesus, and if I've done anything to clog the river of the Holy Spirit, if I have any unconfessed sin in my life, I repent right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, let that river flow. Father God, make me aware of the flow of the river of the Holy Spirit that's down on the inside of me. And I will follow you, and I will yield to you, and I will cooperate with you in whatever you say. I'll do it. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, Father, you've seen lifted hands and honest hearts, and you've heard the voices of your people. And I pray where someone, through negligence or overriding a conscience or just whatever it's been, unconfessing, whatever has clogged a river, I pray, Father, that that river of the Holy Spirit, that he'll flow down on the inside. They'll sense his leading, his guiding in all the affairs, all the issues of life, every issue of life, every issue of finances, every issue of relationship, every issue of family, every decision, every issue on the job. May they sense, Father God, the leading, the direction, the flow of the Holy Spirit tonight. And so, Father God, thank you for leading your people, guiding us. You can see what's out ahead. You see the next 30 days. And you see the next 6 months. You see out beyond that, the years of our lives. And only you can do that. You're the God who looks ahead and provides. And so we cooperate with you, and we yield ourselves over to you, and we thank you. There's a flow. There is a flow. Now take a moment with me and just pray in the Holy Ghost. There's a flow. There's a flow to the river. There's a flow to the river. There is a flow to the river. Yeah, there's a flow. Yeah, just keep lifting your voice just for a moment. There's a flow to the river. Just lift your voice. There's a flow. There's a flow to the river. Yeah. Yeah, there's a flow. There's a flow to that river. Okay, all right. Well, we just wanted to prime the pump, if you will. And you can lift your heads and look at me. We wanted to prime the pump, but I want to say this. God's waiting on you. So find some time in these next 24 hours and yield yourself to him. Will you do that? Yield yourself. We wanted to just prime the pump, but God wants the water. He wants the river to flow. And if you'll take the time and yield yourself, you'll sense his direction. You'll sense the flow of the river. And so don't let that slip from you. Don't neglect that. Our prayer workers are coming down here. If you need something from the Lord, especially if you're not born again, you need to be born again. You want to, if you say, hey, I need a no-so experience with God. If you say, I don't know if something would happen to me tonight if I died, what would happen? I don't know. If you say that, you need to come down here and let these folks pray for you. These are anointed men and women. And so if you're a woman, come down here to the ladies, and a guy, come over here to the guys. And but you want to be born again, anything you need, you want to rededicate your life, then come down here. You want prayer. They'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came. Find some time in the next 24 hours to do what Mary did when Jesus came to her house. Martha ran around trying to solve all kind of issues, but Mary sat there at his feet getting the word. Find some time to get before his feet and let the river flow, and God will show you exactly what you need to do. There's a flow to the river. My friend, that's it tonight. Did we have any first-time guests? I believe we did. Yes. So we're going to let our first-time guests. We got a good gift like Pastor Tad promised. So we want our connection team members to go to all of our first-time guests. We want to thank you for giving us the honor, the pleasure of your time with us tonight. We hope you enjoyed the service. We want to give you a great gift on behalf of our senior pastors, Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, who are the greatest pastors on the planet. And that is an understatement. So we're glad that you came tonight, and we appreciate you, and we hope you'll come back in the future. All right, if all hearts and minds are clear, then you are dismissed. God bless you one and all.